The international corruption scandal involving Latin America's biggest construction company, Odebrecht, was called Operation Car Wash, but involved the kind of money you don't see at a car wash. Odebrecht has been ordered to pay a $2.6 billion fine after admitting it engaged in a massive bribery and bid rigging plot, paying secret payments of about $788 million dating back to at least 2001. That's the biggest penalty ever in an international global bribery case, but it could have been worse. Odebrecht agreed in December to pay a $4.5 billion penalty. My guests are Andrew Spaulding, professor at the University of Richmond School of Law, and William Burns, professor at Texas A&M University School of Law, and the lead author of Money Laundering, Asset Forfeiture and Recovery and Compliance, A Global Guide. Andy, what started this investigation? What got it going?
Sure. Well, it's a fascinating story. It started with what they suspected was a minor money laundering issue involving an official at Petrobras. They detained him for questioning, and at first they were asking him only about this more limited matter, but they suspected that he knew more, and so they threw an obstruction of justice charge at him, and he broke. They flipped him, and he disclosed a number of facts about a comprehensive bribery scheme involving the government, some state-owned enterprises, and some private companies, including Odebrecht. It's probably the biggest single anti-corruption enforcement initiative we've seen to date.
And, William, the U.S. prosecutors said that Odebrecht actually had a stand-alone bribery department. Describe how it could get away with that for years.
So I have a unique perspective because my wife's Brazilian. We're often in Brazil. And if you take a step back, you have to understand from the perspective of what's called the voting population in Brazil, they already suspect, and they know it's common knowledge, that the large Brazilian government and private industry are in cahoots, that they are corrupt, and the politicians. Traditionally, I mean, up until this case, Brazilian politicians have rarely ever spent a day in jail. Brazilian private company people have rarely spent a day in jail. It's one out of 1,000. With this Odebrecht and the larger Petrobras, which is still ongoing, you have what they know for sure, based on the testimony and the evidence that have been uncovered, is that many, meaning almost all. Well, they have over 100 politicians that are under investigation and likely to be charged. But for one caveat, I'll mention 100 politicians were in cahoots to receive bribes and other kickback schemes through Odebrecht's sister called Braskem, from Petrobras dollars. And when you have the politicians, when you have the private companies, and the politicians in Brazil, and this is somewhat familiar to the U.S. In terms of the executive department, but you'll find, you know, government ministers who become members of Congress or their Senate, which is similar to the U.S. system, who are maybe in the Attorney General's office one year and then in a different tax authority the next year. And they somewhat move around as career bureaucrats within an elected or an executive branches. Lula, by example, who is former president, is now a member of the legislative and was appointed minister to try and get out of the corruption charges, and that did not go through. And of course, his predecessor was thrown out of office, and Timmer's the current. But even the current president, Timmer, is under investigation, and I don't, you know, if will charges actually be brought, another story. But
yeah. So, Andy, explain part of the payment. Most of the payment is going to Brazil. Some of it's going to the U.S. and some of it to Switzerland. Explain why those different countries. And when I understand that this went through a lot of Latin American countries.
That's right. And that's really one of the most important features of the settlement. It's not just the dollar amount, and it's not just that a major Latin American company is exposed to have engaged in corruption. That was widely known, as has already been said. What's significant is that this is a joint enforcement action involving the United States, Switzerland, and Brazil, and that Brazil has taken the lead on the enforcement action and is therefore collecting most of the penalty money. Historically, the United States was far and away the leader in enforcing some of these international anti-corruption laws. Part of the success story of the Odebrecht case is that we have seen Brazil now take the lead in enforcing anti-corruption laws in a country which very much needs it, and is becoming a leader regionally, helping to coordinate enforcement with many other Latin American countries where Odebrecht has allegedly paid bribes. So this really is a global enforcement action led largely by Brazil. And that, I think, signals a new era in which other countries besides just the United States are taking the lead in enforcing these laws.
William, I mentioned that it was initially a $4.5 billion penalty. How did Odebrecht manage to get it down to $2.6
billion? Yeah, so this is another unique aspect, which is the right thing to do. Everyone remembers Arthur Andersen, and that was a criminal charge, and it went insolvent, and it caused a lot of pain for the United States and foreign economies. So Odebrecht, similar situation where it agreed that it was, you know, the most egregious, and it would help with the further investigations at a $4.5 billion, but they made a side agreement that said, based on ability to pay. And in fact, right now, there's still an ongoing audit by KPMG, twofold audit. One is on just checking again the audit, the ability to pay, but two is to root out the other corruption in Odebrecht and, well, at least Odebrecht's cooperating, Petrobras is, but to some limited degree. The audit's late. But Odebrecht, if you look at the financial situation of this private company, its CEO is in prison for 19 years. Now, he's signed a plea deal, so we don't know how much evidence he's going to be providing against the 100 politicians I mentioned. Number two, it owes $10 billion on the market. Most of that money is U.S. Debtors. So it's in the U.S. interest to work with Odebrecht, you know, the government interest to work with Odebrecht so that Odebrecht survives as an operating entity to be able to pay back that $10 billion. And they're doing a workout. It's been reported in Bloomberg itself. But that workout's going to take, you know, many, many, many months to come to fruition.
And
go ahead.
So Andy, just in about 45 seconds here, what's happening now with Odebrecht? Have they put anything into place to try to see that they comply, that this doesn't happen again?
Yeah, well, generally, as a condition of these enforcement actions, the company is required to adopt new compliance measures, and that's important. And these requirements will be imposed not just by the United States, but by the other jurisdictions, Brazil included, of course. And Brazil is now in the midst of developing a very strong compliance culture within the country and a compliance industry. So I think we will see Odebrecht's practices clean up in the future, not least of which because it's now under investigation by a number of countries and it's losing business in dramatic fashion.
I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about this. Thank you both. That's Andrew Spaulding, professor at the University of Richmond School of Law, and William Burns, professor at Texas A&M's University School of Law. That's it for this edition of Bloomberg Law. Thanks to our technical director, Charlie Vollmer, and our producer, David Sutcherman.